News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings. Guest on the line right now, maybe you're going to find him interesting. We hope you will. His name is David Holt.
Yeah, and David Holt is the president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. That's a coalition whose members include families, businesses, trade organizations, major energy producers. David, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate it.
So before we get started, and it is a pleasure to have you on, a new guest here on Mobile Mornings, can you, for our listeners and for us, honestly, describe your organization as the voice of the energy consumer? Who exactly do you represent? What's your job like?
Yeah, but well, we're really a consumer advocate that's promoting and supporting affordable, reliable, clean energy, helping local communities, states, Washington develop, and we support sensible energy policies. You know, no bans, no mandates. Let's make sure we have all the energy we need for, like you said at the outset, our members are small businesses, families all over the country, manufacturers, farmers, truck drivers, trucking firms, the airline industry. Literally every sector of the U.S. economy is somehow represented in Consumer Energy Alliance. About 75% of our members are all consumers. They don't produce a molecule of energy, and the other 25% or so are oil, gas, wind, solar, hydro, nuclear, pipelines, transmission lines, kind of all of the above. So mm-hmm. We're just making sure that everyone has the affordable energy that they need.
Wow. So we talk about all those nearly every day.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the Governor Ivey announcing more than $52 million for 21 coastal Alabama projects using offshore oil and gas revenues, the Go Mesa money. What is your view of that, protecting the coast? You know, so far hurricane season's been mild, but that's not always the case.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Go Mesa's great. So CEA's been around for 20 years now, and Go Mesa was really one of the first things that kind of pulled our coalition together. And we worked closely with the federal government on Go Mesa, the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act. And what that did is it provided federal money from royalties, offshore energy development money that goes to the federal government. They send that back. 37.5% of that money goes back to the coastal states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. And the states can do kind of whatever they want to do with it. But Alabama has really done a wonderful job over the last 20 years or so. They've given over $300 million for coastal preservation, restoration, resiliency, to really show that, you know, offshore energy development and coastal restoration, environmental improvement can go hand in hand. So it's been a really great program over the years, and yet another great announcement for Governor Ivey yesterday for another $52 million going into coastal restoration this year.
Yeah, and it seems like we've been reporting on those projects for over a week now because, you know, as the news trickles down, and some of it's very exciting, some of these projects that are announced, and even the, you know, the projects to rebuild the coast or fortify us against hurricanes, those are just as exciting for those of us who have seen some of the damage those can bring. I'm wondering, too, with that Go Mesa money, you know, some of it is going to things like parks, amphitheaters. Should that be more reserved specifically for, like, wetlands and drainage and hurricane protection? Is there some sort of mandate there, or is it basically whatever the states and municipalities decide?
It's really kind of whatever they decide. It's really good that they're putting it back, that a lot of that money back into hurricane preparedness, resiliency, wetlands restoration, preservation, all that. That's where the vast majority of the money has gone over the years. And obviously greatly needed. You know, more and more of us live at the coasts. So when there is a hurricane event, I'm calling you from Houston, Texas. We're right there with you and ensuring that we're prepared for the next big storm because it's going to happen. And populations, more and more of us are living on the coastlines now. So if there's an event, more people are impacted. So the more resiliency, the more preparedness we can have, absolutely the better.
Houston has seen some big events in the last 8-10 years. David, were you in town? Was it Harvey, the storm that dropped all that and created all those floods throughout to the Houston area?
I actually was, and you never know where these hurricanes are going to go. We've all experienced them over our lifetime, mm-hmm. and that was one that just did a 180-degree turn and sat over Houston. You know, it was kind of passing, and then it just completely backtracked.
Yeah.
So we just had water dumped on us for multiple hours, and that created a lot of flooding, a lot of recovery on that one.
And I want to get to data centers, too, with you here in just a minute. But I want to ask, since so much of this funding relies on offshore oil and gas production, what have been the changes since President Trump took office for his second term? Have there been some massive changes in that production along the Gulf?
You know, there have, and we just had a big lease sale in New Orleans. What was it? A little over 2 weeks ago, and it was another record lease sale. A lot of interest, a lot of companies looking to replace reserves as these fields that have been going for 35, 40 years are starting to decline a little bit. But the geology suggests that there's a lot more oil and natural gas in the Gulf of America. And obviously the response from the industry to this lease sale the other week indicates that they believe that there's a lot of energy there as well. So it's the Gulf of America supplies about 14% of all United States energy. Mm-hmm. So that's going into the refinery sector. That's turning that into gasoline and diesel. That's really powering the country. So strategically, it's really important from a energy production standpoint and energy dominance standpoint. It's really important. And as you guys know, the United States now is the number one oil and number one natural gas producer in the world. Mm-hmm. And we're really able to withstand energy price shocks from the war in Iran and events around the world now because we produce so much here at home. We really can dictate the price of global oil much more than we could before. And that keeps gasoline prices lower than they otherwise would have been in an Iranian situation like we see today, mm-hmm. And keeps oil prices a little bit low. So yeah. Hopefully the Iranian situation takes care of itself and we see oil come back down to $70 a barrel and gasoline come back down under $3 pretty quickly here.
Yeah, would love to see that. And we're talking with David Holt, president of the Consumer Energy Alliance. You're not going to find many complaints from our listeners or from us about gas and oil production. Basically, you know, we want cheap energy and know how much the economy relies on that. But we've also, on the coast here, lived through the Deepwater Horizon oil spill over a decade ago now. How has that changed on that front as far as making sure something like that doesn't happen again?
You know, I think it's not our father's oil and gas industry anymore. A lot of lessons learned, a lot of things that the industry understood at the time of that event, but a lot of things that they've done since that event. The technology's constantly changing, constantly improving. Really good. I was really gratified in the kind of the public-private partnership that occurred when you were looking at the Department of Interior and how they worked with industry to understand what's happened and change how things are inspected, change how industry kind of responded to some things. So it's like I said, it's not your father's oil and gas offshore energy anymore. It's the technology, the knowledge, the understanding. The ability to communicate it's light years ahead of what it was. And it's really fascinating for anybody that really does a deeper dive, no pun intended, for offshore, into what offshore energy development is and what it, and the technology that's in it. It's space age stuff. It's really fascinating. And the men and women that work offshore should be commended and complimented and given a pat on the back.
We're going to talk about energy demand. We've got to talk about data centers. Alabama Power says that data centers will pay the full cost of serving them, and existing customers won't foot the bill. Now, based on what you've seen elsewhere, can that promise, that our listeners want to know if that promise can be kept?
Yeah, I think it can. And what we're seeing, it's interesting because, data centers, no one was really talking about data centers 2 years ago.
No.
And now it's... You can't go an hour without kind of talking about it. It's critically important to the country. Everything we do now is based on the information age. It's spawning a whole new kind of a tech boom and all the other things that happen around it. Just think about what data centers and AI can do for telehealth and telemedicine.
Yeah, amazing.
Improve logistics and deliveries. I mean, we all have a smartphone in our hand. It's just, you can't escape it. So various states were looking at various ways to ensure that data centers were attracted to those states. So Alabama, Georgia, Virginia, Texas, Indiana are kind of some of the leading data center states. And they, the incubator of the states is really interesting because every state approached it a little bit differently. But I think they're all arriving at the same place. A lot of money in data centers. Data centers, you've got to pay for the power that you need. No increase in utility costs for consumers and families and small businesses. Make sure that the communities understand the benefits of data centers. I would say that I think the data center industry really hasn't done a very good job of communicating back to local communities about the benefits, the tax benefits, the job benefits, all those kind of things that's starting to occur now. So I think people are getting a better understanding. And once people understand that they recycle the water, there's not a lot of water that's being used. Energy is going to be paid for by the data centers. Here's all the benefits. Here's the tax benefits to local communities. More and more as people understand that, once you answer those questions, the poll numbers change and you see that there's more support for data centers than what would be suggested by kind of the media, mm-hmm. Looking at this from a cursory standpoint. So I think it's a communications issue. Folks need to understand the benefits. They need to understand the questions need to be answered, yep. that they have. I think there's some legitimate questions that just haven't been effectively answered. So that's one thing that we're kind of starting to work on a little bit to make sure people understand that data centers are not going to negatively impact energy costs. Energy will remain affordable and reliable. We're seeing more and more of these states kind of come up with terms and conditions for the data centers to ensure that energy prices don't go up and data centers are good community neighbors.
Well, David, really have appreciated this conversation this morning, and hopefully we can get you on again soon because I know Dan and myself have plenty more questions. Like Dan said, so much of this we talk about every single morning and its effect on the economy and just on, you know, our own personal wallets. So really appreciate you coming on with us today, David, and hope to talk with you again soon.
Hey, would love it. Gentlemen, appreciate it. Appreciate the questions.
All right, man. Have a good day in Houston, Texas, and hopefully the weather's fine. I know it's very humid around Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah. We're hot and humid, just yeah. like you guys.
Have a good one, David.
Take care.
David Holt, president of the Consumer Energy Alliance, and some interesting stuff he had to say there. You have your thoughts on that. 251-343-0106. That's where you can text us or give us a call, and we'll get to those along the way as we continue Mobile Mornings. A lot more to get to this hour as well. So much local news this week already, and many of those that we want to discuss with you, including our three big things and kind of, you know, piggybacking off of that conversation there with David Holt, State Senator Arthur Orr has been making the rounds talking about flock cameras and data centers. I'm kind of lumping all of that into one discussion, but we've got some audio from Orr when he was on with Sean. Some interesting things I felt he had to say as we head towards this legislative session on the way.
And we're heading toward a commercial break right now. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
825 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And go to the phones and talk with our buddy Scooter Greenhill with Capital Tractor, the new location in Tillman's Corner, and a beautiful location it is. Good morning, Scooter.
Morning. How are y'all?
We're doing just fine. And let's talk about the deals you have right now at Capital Tractor. Still a few days left in August. I know discounts on diamond mulchers running through the end of the month.
There is discounts on diamond mulchers running through the end of the month, and we got plenty of them to get you set up with.
Yeah, and great selection. Extends way beyond that. Hunting season on the way. What do you have for the hunters out there who are getting ready out at the camp? Maybe the food plots and everything they need to get ready to go.
We've got some hunting camp special tractor packages put together. You get a tractor, a disc, a bush hog, a seed spreader, already sitting on a trailer. All you got to do is hook to it and head to the camp this Friday.
You make it easy as can be at Capital Tractor. And that's whether you're coming in to buy some new equipment or maybe get your equipment serviced, the service department does a bang-up job every single day.
That's right. We've got a nice new facility, overhead cranes, state-of-the-art everything. We can take good care of everybody.
And, you know, we're getting some rain now, which means that grass is growing even faster. Not that we haven't been cutting all summer already, but you got some deals on mowers still out there at Capital?
We've got some mowers. We'd love for them to have new homes.
Mm-hmm.
Getting close to the end of season, so if you're looking for a mower, now's the time to come make a deal.
Yeah, and you can't miss the new location of Capital Tractor there in Tillman's Corner. They're on Fellowship Drive. The address is 4894 Fellowship Drive, but we've talked about it, Scooter. You could see it like a shining orange beacon from I-10 as you drive by. It's an amazing spot, and you have plenty of room, and all the equipment really kind of spread out so people can pull right on up and take a look.
Yeah, as soon as you come under the Rangeline Road overpass, you can't miss it. It's just a big old lot full of orange tractors over here.
Well, we appreciate your time, Scooter. Hopefully I'll get out there again soon, and we'll be seeing you.
Good deal. Come see us.
All right. Scooter Greenhill, he's with Capital Tractor. I keep talking about it, but what an amazing store they have. And even better, the people they have working in that store, whether it's Scooter or Sage or any member of that team, they'll really take care of you once you get to Capital Tractor in Tillman's Corner. 827 right now, Mobile Mornings, 251-343-0106. And let's go to the phones and talk with Freddie. Hey, Freddie.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Dalton.
What's going on, man?
I've seen a lot of furor on social media recently about people wanting to rename that WPK Wilson Bridge, Dolly Parton Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Most all of us know. I have a better suggestion.
Okay.
I think the lady's legacy should be honored in a really honorable way. How about renaming the West Regional Public Library Dolly Parton Library?
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't think. That's a good idea, Freddie.
So she was really keen about literacy and all she did around books to children and that kind of thing. She was really saying. And before I go, I want to mention something for your guest, Mr. Holt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Small modular reactors.
Small.
They have.
Yeah.
SMRs is what they're called, but the small modular reactors is a nuclear reactor that is becoming increasingly more efficient and better to take and build because of the type of reactor that it is. But I suggest talking to him about that topic because nuclear energy is one of those things that the United States, good, bad, or otherwise, hasn't really embraced since Three Mile Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we need to look at. And that's one of the things that Rick Perry, when he was Secretary of Energy, was really keen about having a balance, and that seems like what David is talking about, is having a balanced approach to energy instead of having all your eggs in one basket.
I tell you what, we're going to talk to him again at some point, and I'm jotting that down. So
yeah.
That'll be among the subjects that we hit him with. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, appreciate it, Freddie. And we're definitely, as a country, behind the eight ball now on these nuclear reactors. And like Freddie said, so much of that has to do with past disasters. But now, when we need not just more energy than ever, but way more energy than we've ever produced, we need them. And they're not fast and easy to build. But what I like about what David was saying is, you know, they're not cutting out entire sectors of the energy, field. They're all for oil and gas production, too. A lot to get to as Mobile Mornings continues right after this.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing just fine. How are things going at McConnell? I know the inventory is looking really nice right now.
The inventory is looking a little slim on the used car side. We've got a great selection of new cars, but you know, we sold a bunch of cars yesterday and didn't get a lot of trade, so the buyers are out trying to buy some cars right now. And we got a good selection of hunting camp trucks, though. We got some, miles in the 80s to 100 on a truck, you know, something like you can keep at the hunting camp. Nice. Mm-hmm. You can check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget with these afternoon thunder showers, God, if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision, 251-476-4141. And I've been watching wreckers coming through here. There's been a few wrecks going on here.
Yeah, there sure have.
Out in the county, so but we will we'll take care that anything you got problems with, we can handle it. So just give us a call, 251-476-4141.
And did you say you have some 27 models already there or soon to be on the lot?
Soon to be on the line.
Yeah.
I got some invoices the other day, and you know, it takes a minute to get them here.
Yeah. Well, I know some people are fired up to see those new models and maybe take a drive. Louis, appreciate your time this morning. Hope you have a good rest of your day.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louis Ratta. Go see him. He's at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Going to review our three big things here real quick. Number one was Mobile addressing how the city uses license plate readers and how long they hold on to that data. By the way, the city of Mobile itself does not use the Flock brand.
Mm-hmm.
They've got something else that they
Protech.
Use. Protech, yeah.
Protech Systems, and then they renewed the contract yesterday.
Yeah, so Councilman Ben Reynolds, he just raised concerns about data collection and protection for the average citizen.
We all should have concerns that while we do have the Fourth Amendment protections from the government, you got to make sure that those are strictly adhered to and you have a layered protection process.
Yeah, Curtis Graves, of course, he's the Public Safety Executive Director for the City of Mobile. He says that the technology can be critical as a public safety tool.
It could be a stolen car. It could be a missing child. You name it, it could be any of those things. And having cameras in places where you can't have bodies is very important.
Okay, that was story number one. Story number two had to do with data centers.
Yeah.
Foley.
Foley kind of getting ahead of the cart here. Well, that's not necessarily the right cliche to use. They're seeing what all these other municipalities are discussing when a proposed data center comes to town. And Foley interested in maybe putting a half-year moratorium on any data center construction in the city. They want to just make sure they have all their municipality rules in line there before they're asked to host one of those. And it's interesting, too, because the other city that's farthest along in a potential moratorium or have discussed it more than most other cities to this point has been Pritchard, with that one announcement a few months back that they were looking at putting a closed-loop water data system, data center, they're in Africatown, right?
Yep.
And so, obviously, two cities kind of on polar opposites right now in growth and in revenue. Foley, they can't build enough there, and Pritchard needs revenue. But both cities, all the same, trying to make sure that they are
protected.
Protected. That's what the constituents want. Heard that conversation with David Holt, and he seems pretty cool with them. And, you know, we talked about who all he represents and wanting low energy prices, but he also represents some big companies, right? So you kind of have to parse through the information he's giving there with your own opinions and kind of the way I'm feeling about both these things, data centers and Flock cameras, is that they are and have proven to be very useful.
No doubt.
And things that it appears to me we certainly need in some form or fashion if we're going to at least with the data centers, continue on the trajectory we're on, and we're definitely going to continue on that trajectory or probably even faster and need more data to be held somewhere. But as so many have mentioned, technology's changing so that you might not need these big old data centers once quantum computing rolls around or whatever, you know, all the science bros and gals are talking about. But you know, what happens if you do build all these data centers and you don't end up needing all of that infrastructure? Or say some data centers go live and they build out new power to get to them, and then that data center goes defunct or something. You know, is it the customer that will end up holding the bag, even with promises from such honorable and esteemed companies as Alabama Power telling us it won't get passed down? We've seen games played in the past where you might not see that on the bill. It won't say data center, but they find other ways, right? And it's about, I guess, kind of like cities and municipalities are doing, states and the constituents really need to stay on top of the states for this, need to make it known that consumers should not be holding the bag for these.
Right.
That if they're that needed by private industry, that they're going to take care of it. And that those power bills, which are already extremely high in these summer months, July, August especially.
I bet yours is a whopper in July.
It seems like it gets bigger every year, every summer. But that doesn't become even more expensive because of these data centers that are going up. For the Flock camera discussion, and State Senator Arthur Orr has been making the rounds, and I really enjoyed his conversation with Sean on Midday Mobile earlier this week about the misuse of Flock cameras. Now, he noted, just like Safety Director Curtis Graves did there, that audio you played, these cameras, these license plate readers, have already been very beneficial in several cases, whether it's stolen vehicles. I was reading some of the comments on our Facebook page when Leanna posted that earlier this week about, you know, people saying their vehicle was stolen and was found using those license plate readers, or someone they know. Elderly who have gone missing, there have been cases where they've been able to track them down using these readers. So there's a lot of good that comes with it.
The silver alerts, as they're known in the state of Florida, I think.
And I think silver alerts here, too.
Okay.
But there's also some major drawbacks, and that's already cases we've seen with law enforcement officers tracking people, stalking people. Or I thought April Marie brought up a good point yesterday on Midday Mobile. She said, you know, what if you're going on a date and your friend who is able to go through these readers says, well, let me find out a little bit more about this so-and-so. Even something as simple as that, it could be misused. So I know Flock last week came out with some regulations that they want to install using their own technology. You heard the city talking about regulations there.
Well, I think, and there's two really, if you're against it or you're against portion of it, there's two things that you're concerned by, I think. Number one, the data itself and how long it's held and how it could be used against you. And number two is the misuse of it, the abuse of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
There's no debating the fact that they can be wonderfully effective for law enforcement. And most people, and even former law enforcement, seem to be don't have a problem with it. In fact, they're touting them as things that are very important in many, many investigations, and will probably be important in more investigations as they continue to figure out how to best use them.
And you know, the city of Mobile, we were discussing this earlier, they don't use Flock.
Right.
They use ProTech.
Mm-hmm.
And Flock has kind of become the Yeti coolers of the license plate reading world. And I really do think it's because they look so much more different than the other readers, because these automatic license plate readers have been around, and you've seen them in tolling booths, you know, in Florida when you roll by.
Yeah, Virginia, I've seen them in Virginia and Florida.
But because the Flock has a different look, they look Darth Vader-ish. Mm-hmm. They're sleek and black, and you know they're there. Mm-hmm. I think with so many of these readers over the years, they're chameleons, kind of in the wild. You can see them, of course, but they don't stand out. And something about 1984 and just the generic view of Big Brother, and I'm not saying it's wrong. What I am saying is we're already way too far down the path to meaningfully end it. But just knowing that you have cameras on you is a creepy thing, and you're less likely to be against it if you don't notice the cameras as much. Well, a lot of the Flock cameras that people are pointing out in Mobile, well, they might not even be license plate readers to begin with, but a lot of them are on private property,
like box stores and things like that.
Big box stores that are tired of getting ripped off.
Right. They're looking at their bottom line, and they're saying, look, retail theft is up, and it's a little it's getting a little crazy. The big box stores generally have got, from the top down, pretty much a rule in place for employees: do not engage, right? To stay out of that.
Yeah, haven't they let people go over the years for engaging?
Yes, they
trying
have.
To do the right thing.
That's always been a story. When when that happens, you got a lady at Home Depot or something, and she engages and keeps somebody from stealing, and there's some sort of a confrontation, and then she gets let go, and that itself becomes a big story. But So if you want to see them, they're out there.
Yeah, they are. But do you have an issue, you know, if you're anti-Flock camera, do you have an issue with private business contracting with Flock so that they can maybe catch some more people who are coming in and stealing lumber or whatever it may be and then making off with it. I don't know many people that would have a problem with, have problems with private homeowners putting cameras on their property. I think everyone or nearly everyone at this point has done something similar with Ring or one of those brands.
No, that's a good point.
Arthur Orr, the state senator, he was on with Sean, and here's what he had to say about some of the abuses of the Flock camera technology. Let's get him going here.
It struck me when I found out where it was happening, you know, across the country.
And let me say this really quickly. He's kind of been fighting this for years, or before the general public really became attuned to what's going on. And he was surprised at how little legislatively the state was wanting to do to rein this in before it really began. All right, I'll let him continue.
And we had done nothing here in Alabama. The idea that the government could just be recording your movements any given day or night, and there's no limitation on it. And there was nothing. It was just the wild, wild west here in Alabama. And, you know, in other words, law enforcement officers could access the database to find out about, you know, was my wife, what's my wife doing all day? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious. And yep. Tracking movements, or my friend, my golf buddy, is he having an affair? Let's see if he, where's goes his during car? His work day. Yeah, and so anyway, the mischief was there. No restrictions on how long they could keep the database, you know, the access, et cetera. The list is long. And so, you know, tried to do something back then. People really weren't interested.
And now he talks about where we currently stand and, what may be coming in this next legislative session in 2027.
I hope that your listeners in the South, the listeners in the North, people in the middle, they'll let their legislators know this is something I want addressed. And I don't trust the government having a bunch of information without some kind of controls on the usage thereof and some serious penalties, Sean, if it's abused.
Yeah.
You know, we've got just cops are human, and because they're human, you'll have some bad actors among the lot of them. And if they misuse this information, they need to be held accountable. And I mean strongly. And, you know, just an easy choice. Don't do it.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what he had to say there. I think the punishment has to be severe.
Sure.
For officers.
Well, first thing, they're going to lose their job. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying jail time and all like that. I don't know. Like, is it almost too much to ask somebody to resist?
Resist the urge.
The
Ring and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah. It's like I've got this opportunity. Let me just take a quick peek here.
Yeah.
Let me take a quick peek there. It's a lot of power. For some it would be tough to resist, like that, putting that cigarette down. Like, mm-hmm. No, I'm just going to do this real quick.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if even with simple things, and, you know, I'm no cell phone snooper, and probably if you know someone who will, you know, go through their girlfriend or boyfriend, wife, husband's phone, they're probably someone you don't want in control of the license plate technology. But, you know,
people are out there. There's people that are natural snoopers. They are naturally
snoopers,
curious.
Yeah.
So you would have to make sure that occupation doesn't line up with somebody just like that.
Yeah, and, you know, in law enforcement, you know, being a snooper isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No.
Generally.
You're investigating things.
But, you know, I have, so find my iPhone, and my wife and I use it, and I use it more when I'm concerned, right? Did she make it home okay?
Yeah.
Especially if she's riding around with my girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, there's a bad storm moving through. Let me check in to see where they are right now.
Can you can track them? Okay,
yeah, good. With that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I use it more than I thought I would for instances like that. But, you know, how do you feel about law enforcement even doing something like that? I would think it would obviously be a no-go, just like anything. But there's so many questions that need to be answered and so many things that because I think of the speed of technology in both of these cases, data centers and cameras are moving so quickly. We're moving much faster than the gears of government allow. But a lot of this private industry that's able to take advantage are much more mobilized and less bureaucratic and able to move to what suits them best.
They're just whizzing on by, right? They're using it the best they can, and AI is just accelerating everything and will continue to do that. We'll get to Jeff Poor on the other side. Quick on the text line. Texter says that Pritchard first refuses any chance to be self-sufficient. He said they should be begging for data centers in Pritchard, so that's almost like let them be the guinea pig, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not opposed to that.
Squirrel Vereen also, I've enjoyed his text this morning. He said, suddenly there will be more scrutiny of all cameras, including people making recreational drone or GoPro videos. In a way, that concern is overdue, but the complainers helped erode privacy with their camera phones and social media usage. And I use this generally, meaning like 98% of our country, but yeah, we're all part of the problem, right?
851 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Michael commenting about my whereabouts on the text line, 251-343-0106.
Yeah, he says they know where Dan is every day.
MPD, they're tracking me, doing my little walks.
He said, keep an eye on that guy. Jason says, the Ford Pass app even shows what direction you're facing and what room you and your device are in. I found that a little much. Well, we already know the tech that the government has because we've seen it used in places like Venezuela when they were scooping up Maduro.
Yeah.
I mean, they know where you are in a room if they put that tech on you. Mm-hmm. They know where you are in the room without being able to see in the room.
Right.
That's how far along we are here. So you can imagine if they wanted to find you, which makes the whole Nancy Guthrie case even more ridiculous in my mind that they haven't been able to figure that one out.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But John said, whatever happened to the NSA Center and that gigantic construction project in Utah? Good question, John. I'd forgotten about that. Fire Dog, he says, I bet Dan goes through Sean's phone every day. Dan is not a snooper. Not a snooper in the slightest.
That's funny.
Charles says, they're placed in public areas. It's a tough call. Humans will mess up anything they touch. That seems to be proven true over time. And Michael says, also, any and all data collected is permanent, that they're not going to get rid of that. He says there's no such thing as getting rid of the data unless you're Hillary with her 5 gallons of bleach. Jeff Poor, his show is on the way next, and he joins us here as he does every Wednesday. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So, who you have lined up for today's show?
We'll kick it off with Scott Buttram here. Ought to be a this ought to rile you guys up about flock cameras because he's on the pro side.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Joey Clark in the 10 o'clock hour, and I thought we were going to have a big, big name guest in the 11 o'clock hour, but may have to punt that to tomorrow. And once I get that locked in, then I'll make that publicly available, but we'll have someone in 11. I'm not sure who yet.
You don't, it's not a big deal for you to have a big name. It's just somebody that you generally don't
have
on?
It's not somebody who's been on maybe once before many years of radio, but that's about it.
Interesting.
Hunter Biden.
is that a big name? Does that measure up to a big name? I don't know.
He's making the rounds. It's almost like he has a political career in mind or something.
He just kind of shows up anywhere, you know?
He really does. He's on everybody's podcast. He's done with his hiding act. He's out and about.
Yeah. Jeff, you know, as far as the flock cameras, and we've been discussing that again this morning, what's your take on, and you know, pro or anti? I'm obviously anti Big Brother, very much anti the government having more information about people than they need. Well, you talk about private companies having these on property, and I think really the story here is flock cameras kind of stand out and have brought extra attention to these license plate readers. Is that why this is such a big discussion now? How's it entered the public, you know, discussion the way it has?
They just started showing up places, and people don't really, I don't think it's a constitutional thing. You're going to lose every time because there's no expectation of privacy when you drive your vehicle on a government road, right? That your license plate is there. Anybody can see it. It's the question is this, and this is where the focus needs to be. It needs to be, is this really what we want our law enforcement doing? Is this a tool that they need to have? Because this is a government for, of, and by the people. Thus, we don't want you using these flock cameras. Now, mm-hmm. Can private companies do it? Yeah, sure. I mean, like I said, there's no expectation of privacy. But when it's in that public realm and it's in the government, You tell them you don't want them to do this, and they shouldn't be doing it.
That's funny because the government, they're all about use it. They're very useful. It can help us catch a criminal and take them down. Meanwhile, the private companies, Lowe's, Home Depot, whatever, Walmart, they're like, we want the data, but we don't want our employees to engage at all. So we'll just take the data and corporately figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably like cost effective, what one would think.
I guess.
But or maybe you have a call center in India or something sorting through it. But yeah. I don't know. I think this discussion is there's got to be some guardrails put in place at some point. And I think Daddy and the Alabama legislature, whoever that is, will have to put in some kind of framework because you can't trust like the city of Selma to figure out how they're going to handle these things.
Boy, Jeff, looking forward to your show.
Taking on Selma again, isn't it?
Looking forward to your show as always. And I can't wait to hear a fired up Scott Buttram argue on behalf of Flock Cameras. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
I'm sure it's going to fire the listeners up today.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great show.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jeff Porcio on the way. That does it for Mobile Mornings this Wednesday. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at 6 right here on FM Talk 106.5.